And in our studies of late, following the Lord's example, he walked with God and before God. And for 3 1/3 years, he demonstrated most publicly who he was, why he was here, and to give us an understanding of the opportunity to be saved and to know him. And then we went and looked at David, who gives us a wonderful, wonderful exercise in what it means to walk with the Lord in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, surrounded by evil, the absence of God, the absence of good, surrounded by darkness and death. And that's how we get saved, out of darkness, out of death, into life, so that we can move properly in time. Now, having said that and done that, now, and we shared together last time in Psalm 37 and that, that God, going, if I can, just to say, I'll say it and then we'll do it. God and his wonderful will, we were next to looking at the hurricane back then, and the hurricane, as hurricanes do, they have a awesome eye, very calm, very still, and the eye, calm, is surrounded by the whirling winds, very, very, very strong winds, depending on the speed and the type of hurricane it is. And that's very strong. And we share together the easiest way to remember Psalm 37 and verse 7 is just think of the eye. And you and I move and travel through time, and we're to understand we're in the eye. And that's New Testament. We're always in the eye. That means calm. But all around us is the storm. Now, God, we're to walk with you by faith and in the eye. It's always at peace and calm. But all of the outworking, as we shared Sunday in that, the steps over verse 23, you can read it. Verse 23, the steps of a good man. Good man, when you think of good, you want to think of the whole heart. A man, a woman, boy, a girl gives God their whole heart. The steps of a good man are ordered, established by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And we share together that God, David helps us understand what it was to be, to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. And to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, his steps that he took all of his life, the times of his life, all the steps that he took were God. God was involved in them. And the way that those steps went, God was involved in the way. And in those steps that he went, God was leading him in the paths of righteousness as he went. Now, back to pick that up, as brief as that was. And Psalm 37, just to tie it and deepen it a little bit. And remember now, we read in Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord and do and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, versus God's way, because of the man who walketh, who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So, as we've been looking in that, so we shared together the word rest. It's a command. And it means to be still, even, level, composed, quiet. The road was quiet, composed, no bumps, straight, level, even. And therefore, going down that highway, step by step, we're to rest and enjoy the silence, to be silent. And we shared that, remember, easy way to remember it. In Exodus we read, be still as a stone. And we had a little stone up here, and the stone never moved, no matter what anyone said to it, no matter what anyone wanted. The stone didn't budge. The stone just was quiet and silent. And that's what it means. Be still as a stone. Be quiet. In the middle of the eye of the storm, be quiet, quiet, calm. Don't have to panic. You can have lunch and relax. The sun even can be shining. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, to do it quietly, in the direction of Jehovah, in the direction of the Lord, and in resting, being still as a stone. Psalm 62 for a moment. And in Psalm 62, following our little word, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And you'll pick it up here in Psalm 62 and verse 1, a little different word, but same word, silent, quiet. True, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. So having said that, waiting silently in stillness, I'm waiting upon God. Hang on. Sliding down in the light of it all, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And that word wait is the same as in Psalm 37, verse 7. Silent, be, rest, 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 wait, be quiet, silent, 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 silent. Look to God, calmly, calmly trusting God, calmly looking to God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's this quietness, quietness. So we want to think about that a little bit. That will help us. So we'll go over to 1 Kings, reminding us. In 1 Kings, in chapter 19. 1 Kings in chapter 19. And may I pick up in thought, please? You'd recall Elijah's wonderful adventure with God. And Elijah walked with God, interestingly enough. And then, like Enoch in Genesis 5, God took him. He was walking, and God took him. He was one of the few that God took just like that. They didn't die, just went up. That's how God did it. That's what God's going to do with us, even before this is finished, I trust. Now, so here's Elijah, and Elijah has been through the mill, and he's getting all worn out, etc. And in the process, verse 11, 19 and 11, and God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. So you'd have to understand Elijah's there in the hidden over there, looking out, and everything's falling apart. So you have to understand it's a rather ominous thing that he's looking at, feeling in it. Verse 12, after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, after the fire, a still small voice. After the fire, a still small voice. A great, and as you do that, just think of a little word, to whisper, to be quiet. He heard, he didn't, the thunder, the earthquake, the fire, the noise, everything thundering, wow. But then, a gentle whispering voice, quiet. Still, small, silent. Hardly could hear it. Just a whisper. Just a whisper, that's all. Therefore, and what did you do, Elijah? Now you witnessed the thunder and the fire and the earthquake. I did. Now when all of a sudden and it became silent and there was just a whisper. Just a whisper. Now what did you do? In verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there was a voice And there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And now, what did Elijah do? What got his attention? The still, quiet whisper. Not the earthquake, not the falling apart of everything else, no. The very quiet, quiet little whisper. And he went out to see. And God was working on his life in a wonderful way to help him so that he'd stay strong until he was finished with him. And so here's Elijah. And Elijah, and be still, be quiet, be still as a stone, looking at it for us. As Elijah, you got to be quiet, be quiet. Now, and therefore be still, translated another way, Luther, be still and let God mold you, make you. Be still, quiet, and let God shape you rightly. Let God work in your heart. You're in the middle of the storm, it's very calm. Be still, quiet, and God will work. Work. Peace to God and all of these things that pass our understanding. And God will do these wonderful things in our little heart as we let God mold us. Be still to listen to God, to hear God. Listen to God's stillness. Listen to God. Be quiet. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. Quiet. Quiet. And people like lots of noise, and some people like a very active religious setting. Yay, you know, all that. Well, you got that? Got that? Now, without doing it, make believe we're all going to go and exercise and shout, okay? And no, so we all don't do it. We're all going to shout. Yay! Okay. Now, having done that, because we were asked to do it, the governor didn't ask us to do that one, and in the process, so here we are, and we shout. Now, what did that do for you, to you? That's a question. Now I'm going to do it a different way. You've got God's word, I hope, in front of you. I want you to, if we're all very quiet, I want you to think in your mind and heart, how noisy is it looking at God's word? When you look at God's word, how much noise comes? What are you doing? You're being still and quiet. Pay attention to the quietness of God's word. It isn't jumping out of the pages at you. It's simply saying something. And it's saying it most quietly. And if you want to hear it, you're going to have to be quiet. You're going to have to be quiet. Aren't you? You can't be all over the place. No, not if you want to get that. You're going to have to be quiet. And listen to it. It isn't making any noise, but it's making loud noise. Be still and listen. God speaks. That's what you're reading. God's speaking to you from his word. And you have to be quiet to what? To hear him. To listen. That's how you read your Bible. That's how we are growing and knowing. Because we aren't jumping all over the place. We're in quiet and stillness, letting it get to us. Because it isn't jumping out of the pages and falling all over the ceiling. It's right in front of you. And we're reminding ourselves as we look, and we see it in all of its wonderfulness. Now, be still and let God speak to you in quietness. That's how God speaks. Isn't it? Now, God can do all kinds of ways to do things. There's no question about that. But the normal way, God's wrote it down, and God said, read it and be still. What did I say? What am I saying to you? Be still. What are you saying? Be still and know that I am God. That's what you're saying. Be quiet as a stone and listen. Pay attention. You don't have to help God. You just listen. You have to pay attention, quietness. If you don't do that, yeah, no, you won't. You don't get it. You won't get it that way. No, you won't. No. Make it Ephesians. Look at it, Ephesians. Be still and let God mold you. Okay. And God, what are you doing? Here we are sitting together, assembled together, as a body of believers, in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 12. For that's what we're sitting here for, right? You want to know what you're sitting here for? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, equipping them, getting them all ready, ship shape. What for? For the work of the ministry. Ministry is service, to be able to serve God's wonderful will. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. So we aren't trying to help people out in the street. We aren't trying to help the government. We aren't trying to help anybody. What are we doing? That local body of believers is together so that we all grow. Where? They don't grow out in the field. No, they grow when they're together. That's what the whole purpose is, to grow. Now, be still and know that I am God. We're reading. Quiet. For what? Now, what are we being still about? What are we trying to build? Let God be still and let God mold you. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity, oneness of the faith, the word the in front of it, the body of truth that is to be believed. Till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the body. That's why we're reading God's word. And the knowledge of God's word, we're looking at it, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, which is all about, research the scriptures, that's all about him, for unto a perfect, full, complete man. We're trying to be, God is developing us. How much so? Unto the measure, will a word how much? Measure, the how much of the stature, of the fullness, stature, growth of the fullness of Christ. Now, God, what are you doing? As we, in the little calm, as we're traveling through time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, school, work, home, what are we doing? What's God doing? He's working. And in our educating, we're resting in God, looking to God, hang on. And in the quietness of that, his book and his God in the heart, if you're a believer, and we're looking to God to do a wonderful thing in our head and heart. And as God does that, God, what's going to happen? Well, God's going to change us and work in us. To what? To help us grow up. Not just to grow up, to develop. To what? So that we can enjoy God more intelligently. Easy way to remember, when you were all little, you had parents of some kind, guardian of some kind, and when you were growing up, you were there, and all you could say is gaga, and no, and yes, and a few other things, and you couldn't do too much, and the parents couldn't do much either. They'd say the same thing back to you. Then, so what? What are you looking for? You're looking to grow up. You're looking at first grade, second grade, third grade. What are we looking for? We're looking for the child to become, grow up, so that they can understand the family, the responsibilities, the order, what the family is having to face and be up against in food and work and home and war and sickness, and that's helping them. When are you going to get that? You got to grow up. And you got to grow up, and then you appreciate your parents or whoever it is, who has sacrificed and done and done everything that you didn't even understand. God, what do you want us to do? I want you to grow up. I want you to become, to be understand, so that we get along with God much more comfortably, much more confidently, capably. No, sir, I know God. I know what God's going to do. I know God. We know what he does do, won't do. And we learn and we walk with God more intelligently. No question, no guessing. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, go back over with me to Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, picking up in thought, and you'll remember in verse 7, rest in the Lord, we're reminding ourselves about the centerpiece, the calm, and wait patiently, that's what we're looking at, the verb. It's reflexive, it's intensive, it's active. You make sure you're waiting. Well, what does it mean to wait? And we looked at it just briefly. To whirl oneself around, to whirl, to spin around, to wind, to twist, to turn around and around, to wrap around. You'll have it with that. And therefore, verse 7, wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. Be still and very quiet. And we're to waiting patiently. So we got the middle of the storm, the calm. And then the winds are all whirling around that storm. The whole trip, the whole track of that storm. Calm in the middle, whirling around. And that travels it down the corridor of time. That's what it's doing. And as it travels down, God, it goes in its own path. And to the best of my knowledge, I think it's very hard to stop a very strong tornado. I think all you can do is get out of the way. I don't think people argue with a tornado. They don't argue with it. Now, hang on. God is taking us a trip through time to bear witness to his wonderful person. The steps are ordered by God. The path is God's. The way is God's. And we're in the middle of the storm. And God, what else do I need to... Remember the winds all around us. That is a little verb we're looking at here in verse 7. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. The winds winding around, turning around. Now, in order to catch that and get that, and the object is to be wrapped around like the wind, wrap around and then get involved in what you're doing. You're wrapping around something for a given purpose, for a given reason. You're twisting, wrapping, tying around what you're doing, and very firmly, very straight, stretching it out, tying it tight, making it strong, straight. It's a state of mental stretch, as it would, to hold one's way, to hold one's hang on to wind around and turn around and be looking to God. Now, in order to get that, I think if you want to take a little exercise to see it, let it build for you. Over to Jeremiah chapter 4. And in Jeremiah and chapter 4, what we're doing is looking at this little word. So I'm trying to get a handle on it so I understand it. So it's going to stick with me better. Now, so here in chapter 4, here's Jeremiah. God is going to judge Jerusalem, going to level the city and all of that. And in that context, the verse 20, destruction upon destruction is cried. The outcry, the message is, it's terrible. Now, verse 19, my bowels, my insides, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because, why is that? Thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, and no one's paying attention. And Jeremiah says, God is trying to warn you and awaken your heart of what's going to happen. The trumpet is blown, the alarm rings, but you aren't doing anything. You aren't doing anything. Ah, my heart is pained. That little word pain is the word you're looking at that God's going to go and wrap himself around. Wrap yourself around. Wrap. To try, to twist, to turn, to wrap, to turn around. What is it then? What, Jeremiah, what are you saying? This thing, and it's used of a woman in travail and pain. That's the word, pain, reveal, and travail, pain. What's happening? When you have pain, what does pain do? Doesn't pain encompass you? Aren't you wrapped up when you're really in pain? Aren't you conscious of pain when you're in pain? It's just pain. It's around you. It isn't calm in the middle. It's all around you, the pain taking away. You're wrapped up in it. That's the word. Wrapped up in pain. Got that word? Got it. That's what we do. We do. We get pain. Pain wraps around us and encompasses whatever it is. And we're all wrapped up in pain. Now, go on and take it a little further. Over if I can. Over to Jeremiah chapter 5. And woman in travail, it would have to do in Isaiah. In the tribulation coming up, they shall be in pain as a woman. What's it going to be like in the tribulation? Awesome pain. The pressures, the troubles are going to be so encompassing. Just think of when the locusts come in there, those demon-ordered locusts, and they bite and you can't die. God said no one can die. They have to be, just get eaten, like Job. Job had the boils, head to toe, day and night. Couldn't get rid of them, couldn't get relief. In the tribulation, pain. They shall be wrapped up in what the circumstances are, and you can't get out of them. Wow. Now, so here in chapter 5, if I can, picking up, oh, you'll catch it, wonderful. Remember, we did all this in Jeremiah. And picking up, if I can, verse 22. I'll read verse 21. Hear now, O this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. They don't see, they don't hear. Now God says, listen, verse 22. Fear ye not me, why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you paying attention, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof, toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, they cannot pass over. God, here we are. Though the temple, why don't you tremble? Why aren't you trembling? Why aren't you wrapped up? Why aren't you moved? Why aren't you moved in your heart with understanding about God's wonderful person, his presence? Why aren't you doing that in his presence? And then he gives an example of the oceans. 70% of the world is water oceans. And the oceans are marvelous. The flood and all of those things yesterday. A long time ago, and all of that. But the sand, the waves, high tide, the moon, high tide, low tide, the waters, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the tsunami, all those different things, here they come. But they never go past the sand. They roar up, and the oceans all retreat back. And what holds them back? The sand. God's wonderful order. God said, why aren't you paying attention? Watch my power. You ought to be standing, circle, and look around the flowers, the bugs, the birds, the bees, your heart, the world we live in, it ought to wrap around you in God's wonderful presence. That's what it's all for. By his, in Romans chapter 1, it's to help us understand God. And we're in the middle of God. God's wrapping himself around us. Are we understanding that? Hang on. Wrapping himself around us. If we would just understand that. In the calm, God whirling around us. Hang on. Now, sliding over to chapter 23. And again, Jeremiah chapter 23, and picking up, if I may, in verse 19, 23 and 19. Behold, a whirlwind, there's your direct word, wind, wrapping around. A whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously. It shall fall grievously at the head of the, on the head of the wicked. Wow. Now, God, here we are. Here's the whirlwind sliding around, God. And here, now we're looking at the tornado type. God uses it as an illustration. God's power, God's sovereignty, God's authority. No one fights a tornado. No one fights the storm. You either yield to it and hide and hope you can get through it. That's all you can do. God says, I use the whirlwind to tell you. Now, what are you telling us, God, as we walk in the valley of the shadow of death? You're walking in the middle of me, calm as can be. All the while, you're surrounded by me in my sovereignty, in my power, in my authority. And as you move, there's nothing, no one that's going to get in my way and stop me as you take the steps that are mine. As you go my way, nothing's going to stop. No one, nothing can stop my will outworked in your life. That's the message of it. That's awesome. You need to see that. Hang on. That's what it's about. How many believers even come even close? Poof. Not much. It isn't that they can't. We just don't pay attention. It's an awesome thing. Now, having said that little bit, go over, please, in your Bible, if I can, wait patiently for the Lord. We did that, God, so for time's sake. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful working in your heart, we'll move right along. Think of the Moses, if you would. Well, here we are. Without going back there to Jeremiah, in the process, the whirlwind. God said you should understand my presence like a whirlwind. Now, God, what about your presence? Now, Moses, we don't have to turn there. Remember, though, Moses, what did you tell Moses? Moses said, unless you go with us, God, remember that, Exodus 33? If you don't go with us, if your presence, underlined, doesn't go with us, we aren't going anywhere. I'm not taking the people. I'm not stepping one step unless you go with me. That's wonderful. I don't want to go without your presence. No, I don't. Because that's where safety is. Calm right in the middle and surrounded by the omnipotence and the sovereignty and silence of God who speaks so loudly to us. The wind whirling, but I can't hear it. God, Wow. Now, having that in mind, going through that, go over with me, please, in the light of that, and you know, going in the light of Moses, we go to us, just don't want to leave us out in the process. In the process, Hebrews, remember 13:5, I will never leave thee, what? I will never, never, five negatives. I will never leave thee, never leave thee, never leave thee, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I just won't do it. Now, God. So am I going to enjoy being in the storm? In wrapped, understand, where's my safety? It certainly isn't in the stuff they got going on, you know. Certainly isn't there. No, not there. No, where's your safety? And we try to say it 100 different times in 100,000 different ways. Do you understand the body belongs to him? It's his body. It's his walk. Now, either I understand that and let it happen, or I'm not. And I say, well, that's wonderful, and I wrote it, hang it up, a picture on my wall. No, it isn't a picture on my wall. It's God in your heart if you're saved. And that's a whole nother world. And we need to live like that and walk like that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Habakkuk. Over the prophet Habakkuk. And if I can, in chapter 2. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, picking up the thought, if I may. Now, here's Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is looking like Elijah, like Jeremiah. And that looking, here's the Nebuchadnezzar, and the city's going to be leveled, and all of these different things. And having looked at that, and so Habakkuk wants to know, God, man's sin, what do you do about sin, God? You know we're sinners, and the Babylonians are worse, are sinners like us. So why, we're bad, but why are you letting the Babylonians come who are cruel, merciless? Why are you going to let them get us? Why are you going to let that happen, Habakkuk says. And then he goes through all the different woes and reasons. And when you come to the end of that little list, you come to the fifth woe, and you go to chapter 20 and in verse 18. What prophet, remember now, here's Babylon, and here's a summation. Why is Babylon going to be taken over by the Medes and the Persians? Why is Babylon going to fall and fail? Because of idolatry, in particular, which makes all the rest of it happen. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work, the maker of the idols, trusteth therein to make dumb idols? They're useless idols. They don't work, walk, speak, do anything. They don't do anything. What's the sense? Verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone. And think of idols, if you would. You know idols. People have idols. And in the world, the sense out there, people bow down to the idols. And they talk to the idols. And they ask the idols. They ask the image. They come before the image. And help me, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Right? They do. Help me. But the image can't talk. The image can't do anything. It's just a piece of stone or wood or something else. That's all it is. But what do they do? They are bold enough and with it enough to do what they do, to talk to them, to look to the idols that they made that are dumb, useless, but they look to them as if they're going to help them. So therefore, verse 19 again, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, the teacher of lies, etc. That's 18. Verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to thee, dumb idols, dumb stone. Arise, and it shall teach. No, it won't. No, the idol doesn't teach. Behold, it is laid bare, laid over with gold, and you make it more valuable and precious, diamonds and gold and silver. And where? And there is no breath at all in the midst of it. It's nothing. No matter how you dress it up, no matter where you put it, on your bureau, people put it in the middle of the city. Athens was full of idols in that day. Wow. All kinds of idols to everything. That's what people do. Now, Habakkuk, you want an answer, don't you? You want to know why all this is happening? Because they're kind of tied up in evil. Evil, the absence of God, the absence of good. Darkness, evil, and death. They have no life, no light. They have none. Now, God, what are we going to do with them? Well, God said, I'm going to do something. And by the way, Habakkuk, stand back. Verse 20. But, contrast, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. The little word keep silence, interjection, hush. Stand back, Habakkuk. You're looking at down there at the Babylon, Chaldeans, and all of it, Jerusalem. Stand back. Hush. Quiet. Be still and know that I am God, and the whole world answers to me. So when they're all out there, the storm which we live and walk in as believers, if we would ever take advantage of it and understand it. Here we are, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Wow. Now God, here we are looking, and the world is all doing what it's doing. Now David died, why didn't you fear evil? Verse 4. Because you were with me, God. God was with me. Why would I fear evil? Why would evil ever be a problem? Why would anything be a problem when I walk in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness? No, it isn't. No, God said to Habakkuk, you want an answer? I'm going to have the whole world right now, as the tornado moves, literally, and it can go wherever it wants to go and do whatever it wants to do. God, that's what you're doing. That's right. And God said, hush. When you see all this going on in our day, our world, right now, our country, our state, God said, hush. I'm on top of it, like the storm. But God, it's out there. Aha. It's out there. But you're here with me. In the middle of my presence, where it's calm. And you're in the middle of the God's sovereign, omnipotent power. Can't see it? No. But you are so glad. And wait, you're resting in the Lord. And what are you doing? You're wrapping yourself around the wonderful Word of God and the wonderful presence of God. And God, what are you doing in your little heart? All the things come and go, trying and testing of your heart. And what are you doing? You're wrapping, using my little tissue. You're wrapping yourself, tissue, wrap after wrap. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wrapping them all up. That's what I'm doing. I'm in the middle of God. And God's in the middle of me. And you. That's what it's about. Well, isn't it hard? Now, having said that in closing, while tying together, yeah, closing. And you know, God said, and you don't have to turn there in Isaiah 45 and that, the whole world, tell the whole world to wake up. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that I am who I am. Isaiah 45, 22, etc. There's not going to be any exceptions. So God said, your turn is to go down the corridor and outwork in your little life. Hang on, we'll pick that up Sunday if the Lord tarries wonderfully. Wow. That's what we're going to do. The trivia. Down there. That's right. That's what we're going to do, God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, as we go, over, if you would, in closing, John. John chapter 10. And you'll see it. And you'll note, I'm going to make a note while you're there, Psalm 100. You have to turn there, Psalm 100. You'll remember Psalm 100 a little bit. We are his people, and we are the sheep of what? His pasture. We are his people, and the sheep, he's the shepherd of his pasture. And no one's going to, no wolves are coming in. No serpents, no bad guys. Not unless God has that in mind. It's in his pasture, in his keeping, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of his sovereign, omniscience, omnipotent presence down the corridor. Wow. Now, God, say it to us. You say it so many different ways. John chapter 10, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. And what does it mean to go down the corridor like that? Well, to say it another way, if I can, John number 10, picking up, please, in verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, so the unbelieving heart, they don't know for nothing. And all that we just said is useless to you, isn't it, if you're unsaved? You can't do one thing with it, not one. All you could do is hear it, maybe, but you can't do one thing with it unless you're saved. That's all. Now, we could tell you all the little things you might like to hear, but that won't help you get there. You got to know how to get there. And the only one that can get you there is God, down the corridor of time. So therefore, number 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So that's not going to happen. No. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and my Father are one, and no one's going to take you out of my hand. No one. Now, you can try to jump out, but you can't jump out. Now, you can lose out, even though you have all of this privilege. You can miss out totally by not believing and enjoying the trip. Or you can thank God, and no one's going to touch you. No germs, no dumb anything out there. That doesn't mean you don't get the flu or the green plague. That's immaterial. It doesn't make any difference, because if God wants that for your body, what? Would you want to say no? If God has that in his plan, no. Oh, God. If God lets it happen, then God's going to get you through it. That's the rule. God isn't going to let it happen unless he wants to get you through it. He has a purpose. And you go down the corridor like that with confidence. God help us.